How's it going, everybody? This is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems, and welcome to another edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. And today I've got a special treat for everybody. I've got an interview with Katrina Strand, who is a pro downhill racer and a strength coach. You guys have probably heard about Katrina. She's been featured in some different magazines and stuff, been on the scene for quite a while, but she recently had an article series come out on Pink Bike, pinkbike.com, that you guys can check out right now. And when I was looking on that site and I saw her articles, I was extremely impressed with the programs and stuff, and I wanted to get a hold of her and get her opinions on some stuff. So, Katrina, thanks for taking the time to join us. How are you doing tonight?
Doing awesome. The snow is melting quickly here in Whistler, and even quicker down in Squamish and up in Pemberton. So, yeah, the bike has been brought up a couple times in the last week. So, yeah, things are looking good. Spring is here.
Excellent. Yeah, spring's definitely one of my favorite times of year, for sure. So, yeah, so as you just let everybody know, you're one of the lucky dogs who gets to live in Whistler and, you know, the BC area and take advantage of all that riding there. So I'm sure that's not a bad perk, you know, living there and getting to do your job there, huh?
Oh, no, it's awesome. I'm surrounded by, as most people will know, like the corridor, the North Shore up towards Pemberton is a mountain biking mecca. So because I'm compulsive obsessive mountain biker, it's obviously a very good place for me to be. And I'm surrounded by a lot of people that are kind of like-minded in that way, really fit, active people that get out there and do a lot of fun things. So, yeah, it's a great place to be.
Nice. Excellent. So just real quick, like I said, I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with you. It's like, you know, I know I saw you in featured Mountain Bike Magazine not too long ago and stuff like that. But just, you know, for those of you, for those that aren't, you know, super familiar with you, you are a pro downhill racer and a certified strength coach. Why don't you give us a little, you know, rundown on your background, kind of how you got into this and kind of how you got where you are today.
Yeah, I started riding years ago, and, you know, one thing just led to another. I was into it from the day that I picked up a mountain bike and just rode all the time, started racing, that kind of unfolded, eventually turned pro, ended up doing some Canada Cups, which turned into World Cups, World Championships. But all along, I would put a big focus on the whole media aspect as well. Like, I knew from the beginning that it was a difficult sport to excel in and to, you know, do all the time if you weren't going to get support. So I took a bunch of different angles, and along with racing, media, coaching, most recently event organization. But yeah, that's basically how the whole bike thing unfolded. And I started coaching like 7 years ago, or maybe even more now, 8 years ago, doing skill coaching and working with kids, adults, actually all ages and ability levels. And while doing that, I kind of decided that I wanted to, I had my own business at the time, actually, and that I decided that I wanted to also incorporate some strength and conditioning stuff into that sort of role. So I went back to school, went back to UBC and got my degree in human kinetics. And then after that, got my CSCS, which is Certified Strength and Conditioning Coach. And that's how that all came to be. And for the last couple of years, along with all my mountain bike roles, I've been working as a trainer here in Whistler. And mostly do most of my work out of Meadow Park, which is the rec center up here. And then most recently, I started Strand Fitness Coaching to kind of go out on my own a little bit. But I really enjoy where I'm working at Meadow Park. I have it's a great resource. It's great people. And so I will be there for a while, but it's good to have my own thing going as well, so I can branch out to other places and other parts of the world too. So
yeah,
that's my story in a nutshell.
Nice, excellent. So you've been a pro for like 7 years, you said?
Yeah, I'm trying to think back. This is not that long ago, but when my license turned pro, basically, yeah, I think it was about 7 years ago.
Nice, excellent. Well, cool. I guess, well, let's dive into some training info and, you know, like I said in the intro, you know, I was real impressed with your article as as I'm sure most of the people listening to this podcast and read my blog know, I'm extremely opinionated about training for mountain biking, and I think most coaches out there go about it all wrong. And you're actually the first coach I've ever interviewed and featured on my site. So,
Thank you.
Well, you know, I love your approach. I think you're definitely on to the right track. You know, and you know, we spoke earlier and just kind of, you know, we're talking about how a lot of coaches really approach mountain biking, you know, just kind of applying road cycling tactics to mountain biking. And, you know, we've got a unique sport, and there's pretty much, you know, outside of the fact that both sports take place on two wheels, there's not a whole lot besides that in common between those two sports. So because of that, because road cycling has had such a strong influence on our sport up to this point, you know, what are some of the mistakes, you know, what are some of the most common mistakes that you see riders making with their training that you think, you know, they should be rethinking as they could do a little bit better with?
Probably one of the most common mistakes is the lack of training. but besides that, I've definitely noticed, like, a lot of people will spend a lot of time putting in huge miles. Like, they'll go out for a 3-hour plus road ride or several, and you know, keep their heart rate pretty low, just a sustained effort road ride. And I don't necessarily believe that that's the right way to go about it. There are benefits to that, especially if you're going to be getting into some cross-country racing riding. But because mountain biking is so dynamic and you're working through so many different heart rates, zones, whatever you want to call it, I just believe that there's different ways of, as far as cardiovascular training goes, there's different ways to train your cardiovascular system that will be more beneficial to mountain biking. It just needs to be a little bit more dynamic. Like, it doesn't have to be so long and lengthy. You really don't need to put in all those hours to make it effective. That's one of the most common mistakes. And also, I say, I guess another common mistake I see as far as strength training goes is just exercises not being done properly. There are specific movement patterns to a lot of the exercises and what people would call basic exercise, and sometimes they're not so basic. And so it's important to work with somebody or to make sure that you have the technique dialed so you are doing it correctly and preventing injury and those sorts of things.
Excellent. Yeah. Please. So kind of some things, you know, and like I said, you know, readers of my blog, you know, may be familiar with, but, you know, there's definitely a difference between just going, doing an exercise and actually working on a movement pattern, then, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, yeah. Now, you know, saying that aerobic base training may not be the best way to get fit for mountain biking may get a few people coming out of the woodwork calling you, you know, a heretic. That is one of the sacred cows in our sports that people don't really like to see taken on. So just hope you're ready for the
abuse.
Yeah, exactly. the feedback there from people. But I got your back. If we ever got to go to battle with somebody over that, I definitely got your back on that one. Because I definitely agree, man. Our sport is way more dynamic and way harder to sustain a particular effort for any amount of time to spend a lot of time doing that, and especially downhill racers and stuff like that. So,
as far as base training goes, like, you can, there's different styles and methods of base training, so it doesn't necessarily mean you need to go out to do these 3-4 hour plus road rides. And as I said, there are benefits to it, and it does depend what kind of mountain biking you're doing. Like, if your focus is more cross-country, or, I mean, if you do want a road, of course, and or more downhill, it really does depend. But just a lot of people, like, that does involve a lot of time, and I know from personal experience that I can, you know, the people that I've worked with and myself, that you don't need to put in all that time in order to be effective. And also, as I said, just to have a sustained effort cardio workout might not be the best situation for you, even in the beginning stages of training, because it's so far removed from what we do as mountain bikers.
Yeah, definitely. It's actually something I was thinking about the other day. I mean, it's funny. Sometimes I have, like, these moments of clarity on mountain bike rides when I'm, like, about to pass out from lack of oxygen on climbs and stuff like that. But I was thinking about the whole, you know, base training concept the other day, and you know, aerobic base training, you know, I think people get confused. Like, they don't want to, you know, what is an aerobic base? I mean, they're putting in an aerobic base. What is the result that they're trying to get from that? And you know, basically what you're trying to do with that aerobic base is, you know, build your VO2 max. And, you know, now that you know, there's studies coming out showing that, you know, interval training is actually just as, if not more effective at building your VO2 max, it really does call into question the use of aerobics during that base training phase for a lot of mountain bikers. Because, again, you know, the base training is just trying to establish a fitness base and build that VO2 max up. And so, you know, now that we know that there's more than one way to go about that, and, you know, like you've mentioned a couple times, you know, maybe a more effective and efficient use of your time, you know, it's definitely worth mountain bikers reconsidering that whole, you know, that whole concept of, you know, well, what am I trying to accomplish during my base phase? And you know, looking, you know, just kind of, it's always good, I think, to step back from our sport and our training protocols and just question the most basic elements. And you know what, if at the end of the day we decide, hey, you know what, they do stick, then cool, then we're that much more solid in that they need to be there. But I definitely think, you know, how we build cardio for our sport is definitely one of those things that we can definitely rethink and do a lot better, rather than going out on a road bike for 3 hours at a time.
Exactly. And, I mean, is that something that you enjoy? Like, if you enjoy going out for of course, you want to do it.
Yeah,
I agree. Like, there's different methods to what people call base training. And, yeah, and as you said and as I said, more effective and efficient way use of our time is to not necessarily do those long miles.
Yeah,
exactly.
Definitely. So, cool. Well, I guess you know, from your experience in you know, training yourself and working with other riders, and you know what are some of, like, the top strength training exercises that you think have the maximum transfer over to mountain biking? You know, obviously with the caveat that we're, you know, working, you know, got the proper form and focus and working on the right movement patterns, but, you know, what are some of the top exercises that you think people should be incorporating in their programs?
Well, eventually, maybe not right off the get-go, but once you've, like, worked through your imbalances and, yeah, so as you said, worked through, like, different movement patterns or different exercises, it's good to have an exercise that will mimic what we're doing. And one of the ones that I think is extremely effective is, like, a posterior deltoid lift. There's lots of different ways to do that. You could do almost like a bent over row. And what I'll get people to do is, like, mimic their, you know, have their feet in bike stance, so to speak, and have their hands the same width as their handlebar. It changes from person to person. And to do a posterior deltoid lift bent over as if they're on the bike, essentially, with weight. That one seems to work really, really well. I also think that push-ups are really good. And there's a few reasons behind that. Like, you can do an assisted push-up. So it's, what I mean by assisted is by lifting the bar. Like, you could use an assisted squat rack, for example, and lift the bar so you're more at an angle and get in the right body position, or do a full gravity push-up. And the reason why I think they're good is not only do we use our triceps, pectorals, et cetera, for when we're mountain biking, as we're absorbing bumps, et cetera, as we're going down the hill, you're also developing stability through your whole body, which is effective for other exercises. And it's funny because there's been a lot of studies too that have come that a simple exercise like the push-up has improved, or they believe that it improves, like, deadlifts and squat and your squat weight and stuff like that. So push-ups, posterior deltoid lifts. What else I think is good? I'm a huge squat fan.
Oh, yeah.
I think squats are awesome. Squats or lunges, so you can do both or one, but definitely going through that range of motion. So you have to move through that sticking point, so you develop strength at a lower range of motion. And but I mean, that one really depends on your movement pattern. Like, it needs to be quite, you know, you need to be able to get down quite low, 90 degrees or at least 90 degrees. And as far as another one that I find really good is the Tabata air squats, especially if you're a downhiller. So the Tabata protocol, which I believe that lots of your readers will know about,
yeah,
is the 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off, times 8, and it's of any exercise you can think of, and you go as hard as you can for 20 seconds, you take the 10 seconds off, 8 reps, and for an air squat, you go down to that 90 degrees and move as quick as you can through that range of motion. And yeah, I mean, generally you'll see that the amount of reps you can do in those 20 seconds slowly decline, but it does mimic, like, you know, a more extreme rate what we do on mountain bikes, especially when we're downhilling. I know we don't go through that full range of motion usually when we're mountain biking, but to develop strength through that range of motion is, will just make us stronger for those easier ranges of motion. So there's so many.
Yeah.
I think I could, like, I mean, I could go on and on, but
yeah,
I think those exercises are definitely key.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's good to see another vote for the old push up. I mean, I've actually gotten to the point where I don't even really recommend or prescribe traditional bench press a whole lot in my programs and stuff like that, just because there's so many different push-up variations and so many different ways to, you know, make them harder, and it's such a great overall body lift. I think that's kind of one, you know, one of those exercises that you were referring to earlier, you know, those on the surface basic exercises that aren't really so basic that, you know, a lot of people just, you know, want to rush past and start getting into the, you know, more serious stuff. And, you know, I definitely think, you know, those total body movements and you know, stuff like that are you know, body weight, being able to control your body weight as a mountain biker is pretty much it, you know, pretty much the key, you know, to lifting. So I did notice, I'll throw this out there and kind of get your opinion on this, that there weren't a ton of machines in your list there. So I'm assuming that you are definitely more of a fan of the free weight or body weight movements when it comes to training.
Yeah, because then you actually engage your whole body, and it just, it makes a lot more sense to me to have, like, full body activation when that's what we do in real life. And especially mountain biking and most sports, for example, like, if you have a strong foundation, like, our legs and arms are an extension of that foundation. So if you have a strong foundation, then everything else will come together. And so I think that if you incorporate these exercises that encourage full body activation, then naturally it's going to be better for you in sport or in life too. Like, even when we're walking, we're not, we're slightly moving out of balance and back into balance. So, I mean, there are some exercises that I would prescribe, like the leg press, for example, where you're just kind of developing brute leg strength and having full support on your back. But I just find that, you know, I do feel that these exercises do activate and strengthen your core. I don't think that you should leave it at just that. I do think there should be a bit of a core program, but that's why I encourage those sorts of exercises where you need to control your whole body as well.
Excellent. Glad to see another vote for that. Yeah, I've I've you know, incurred some people's wrath for questioning the inclusion of things like, Smith machine squats and stuff like that, which I don't know what your opinion of the Smith machine is, but I personally find it to be best suited for, like, a coat rack or something like that.
Waste of space.
Waste of space.
Yeah,
exactly. It's a machine in disguise. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people kind of get sucked into thinking that they're doing some sort of, free weight style movement just because there's a bar involved. But it's definitely a machine in disguise there, folks. So
exactly.
So keep an eye out for that.
And it's not to say that all machines are bad. Like, in a lot of situations, they can be helpful, and especially in a rehab situation, like they can support some areas where you use other areas. Like, there is benefits to them, but I just think there's far more benefit to using some dumbbells or a bar or something that is going to, as I said before, encourage your whole body to be working and not just those muscles that are being targeted.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to use the words always and never because somebody much smarter than me once pointed out that usually shows a lack of critical thinking skills. But I'm with you. I think that machines can have a place, but most of your training definitely needs to center around those total body free weight and body weight style movements there. So awesome. So I guess a couple more quick things here while I got you. Just for any up and coming riders out there, people that are either just getting into this and saying, hey man, I really love mountain biking and I want to get into it more, or maybe somebody's a little more serious and thinking about getting into the racing scene a little more serious. I mean, kind of what are some of the things that some of the advice that you got for them in order to kind of help them along that path and kind of what would you tell them?
Well, first, not just solely because I'm a strength and conditioning coach, like I firmly believe that it does help significantly. It makes you, the fitter you are, the longer you can ride, the stronger you feel, the faster you recover. Like it's definitely creates balance, and a lot of people will be like, well, I just ride my bike and that's what keeps me strong, but the more balanced you can make yourself going into a season, for example, the easier it's going to be on you. And on that note too, since mountain biking is so technical, you do need to work on your skills. This is true, and you can incorporate a lot of your training into your rides. There's lots of things you can do with your cardiovascular training on your ride, and even once you get into, the power endurance phase of your training, you can do a lot of the work on the bike. You're not going to be, if you're the fittest person in the world, you won't necessarily be winning World Cups. You have to work on your skills. But the difference between the best and the best is, that little bit of extra fitness and the fact that they can have a hard fall and bounce back quickly because they're so fit. And I think that it really helps out to work with a professional and work with a trainer. And maybe if you don't have the funds to work with a trainer every time you go, at least get some guidance to put you on the right path so you can get that fitness base and that strength base, and it will make your riding so much better and more enjoyable.
Yeah, just kind of a random question for you, because I'm sure you and I have both seen this. There's a lot more Yahoo personal trainers out there than there are like legitimate coaches. So when it comes to trying to find somebody to work with locally to get some advice and stuff like that, you have any advice on what people should look out for or try to avoid or things like that?
I guess it's pretty hard because there's so many different certifications that people can get as trainers. And some might not even have the certifications. So, and if you don't have any sort of knowledge of strength training or fitness training, then it's hard to know what's right and what's wrong. But I would just go on on recommendations or go with somebody who, I mean, if you're a mountain biker, go with somebody who understands bikes.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's what's key. And I'm sure if people get in touch with me or you or other trainers in the industry that know bikes, if they want to work with someone one-on-one and we don't live near that area, I'm sure that there's some sort of connection that someone like me or you could make that would get them in the right, guide them in the right direction.
Yeah.
You know, as I said, like, it's not to say that someone who's never been on a trainer that's never been on a mountain bike before won't know how to train a mountain biker, because I could train a golfer, and I don't swing a golf club. I could train a golfer, but that would be a guideline, I'd say, or to... It's hard. Like, it would be hard to find the right trainer if you have no idea where to go, but to get recommendations from...
Yeah.
From friends or from people who are in the industry, or... Yeah, I guess that'd be the best way to go. I don't know if you have any suggestions, but...
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny because it's just something I just kind of thought about and threw out there for you. But I kind of like, you know, I mean, realistically, I think, you know, it goes back to part of it is you got to educate yourself a little bit as a consumer, you know, I mean, and
yeah, exactly.
You know, you need to know a little bit about what you're looking for. And so, you know, checking out some resources and, you know, like there's a website on strengthcoach.com run by a guy named Mike Boyle. You know, it's got some good information on it. And, you know, but basically, yeah, I mean, I totally agree. You know, if you're looking to work with someone one-on-one in your local area, then you definitely need to educate yourself a little bit on you know, just kind of some basic training principles and stuff like that. And I guess if I had anything to throw out there is, you know, look for somebody that really understands how to coach movement rather than exercises. And, you know, because I think that's why you, and I feel the same way. I train golfers, and I've never swung a golf club in my life. And, you know, I think the reason that you and I can help somebody who plays a sport that we've never even tried before is because we understand how to coach movement, and movement crosses over to any sport. And so if you find somebody who just is giving you a list of exercises without really being able to break down how you're performing the movements and telling you what you need to concentrate with them, you know, so I guess not to, like, you know, hijack the question myself, but I guess that would be what I would.
No, that was good. Because I'm trying to figure out as you were asking me, like, yeah, like, how would you do it with little knowledge, you know, here. In Whistler, we've got, you know, a lot of the snowboarders will go to my coworker Eric, because he's a snowboarder. I snowboard too, but he's high end, and a lot of mountain bikers will come to me, and, like, it just kind of works that way. But a different place, yeah, you're right. Like, I think educating yourself to a certain extent as a consumer and having an open mind, not just going with the theory of, like, this is the way and the only way, which a lot of people seem to have.
Yeah. We were talking about that earlier, about how people get stuck in their ways and stuff like that. Well, excellent. Well, I guess, you know, kind of conclude here, man. I think it's been some great information, and people are really going to get a lot from this interview. I'm super stoked that you taking the time to share this stuff with us. But I guess, you know, to conclude, I mean, you know, give us a little rundown. What are some of the things that you're, you know, currently involved with? You know, give us a plug for your website. You know, let us know if people want to know more about Katrina Strain and want to work with you. You know, how, you know, where can they go? Where can they find out more about you? You know, let us know.
Well, I've got my hand in 20 million different piles. Besides strength and conditioning coaching, yeah, I do a lot of stuff in the bike world. And I have a website with Claire Bouchard, Canadian DH Girls. And I know half the time our blogs are just kind of about, I don't even know what, like, non-bike related, just funny stuff. It's just a fun website. It's called CanadianDHGirls.com. Definitely want to check that one out for a good laugh. We're doing some updates to it now, too. So it's not completely current, but our blogs are. And yeah, as far as my business strand fitness coaching goes, I'm just actually working through a Mac website right now, so the website address is long, but the best way to go about it would be to, I'm going to be getting the title on eventually, the best way to go about it is strandfitnesscoaching.welcome.html. You can check out some fun stuff there and some cool photos. And yeah, that's basically it. I'll be out there in the bike world this summer doing a bunch of racing, and I'm super excited about the U.S. Open. And a bunch of coaching still, and I'm putting on Women's Works, which is the Girls Free Ride event at Crankworks.
Nice.
That was something that I conceptualized with Lisa LaFroy a few years ago, so it's the third year this year. And, yeah, that's basically it. I'm sure I'll be out there in the media as well.
Nice, nice. And just got to throw it out here, you're also a coach at the old Summer Gravity Camp there at Whistler.
Oh, yeah, Summer Gravity Camp. Yeah, I've been doing that for, like, 5 years now, and I've always done the adult camp. It's a lot of fun. Like, youth through to adult is a lot of fun. I always do a week of the youth at least, and then the adult camp. And basically, we ride for 6 days, and you get some professional coaching, and there's a lot of good riders that are out there coaching and ride the mountain bike park. The adult camp gets to go heli biking, too, which is kind of cool.
Nice.
And, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. I love the Gravity Camp program. It's a good one.
Nice, nice. So I'm actually looking at the CanadianDHGirls.com website right now, and I see at one point you were a stunt double for the Glacier Girls in the Tiffany beer commercial.
Yeah, so Americans might not be familiar with the Kokanee beer commercials, but they've stopped it now because they basically died off the whole idea. But for years they had this Glacier Girls, like the Glacier Girls chasing the Sasquatch through the wilderness of British Columbia sort of theme. And myself and Claire and another local, Jen Ashton, were the stunt doubles for some mountain bikers, so we were chasing Sasquatch on our mountain bikes. They made us wear the funny. I never thought that I'd be hucking a ridiculous, like, kicker jump to flat in a bikini. Let's put it that way.
Nice.
That's basically what we were wearing, like silver bikinis. And, oh, so funny.
Yeah.
And roach armor.
Sounds,
But yeah. It was fun.
Sounds super hot there. I'll have to look on YouTube, see if the video's anywhere around there.
It's ridiculous. But yeah, we did that, and oh man, if there's more stunt work out there, that'd be a great source of income, because it's only a day or so, and you end up walking away with quite a bit of money, but it's not the case, really. But right. Yeah, it was really, really funny.
Nice, nice. Well, excellent. I just had to throw that out there and kind of get your reaction on that. That looked like a good one. I wish I had that one on my resume. But
yeah, it makes me laugh just thinking about it.
Well,
like,
excellent.
What are we doing? Claire and I kept on looking at each other like, what is going on? Like, here we are in silver outfit chasing a Sasquatch down a mountain.
Yeah. No, Sasquatch's kind of a big deal there in old BC. I remember when I was in Whistler, there was a few things on TV about old Sasquatch. So, I just got to ask you, have you ever seen Sasquatch?
No, not yet, but apparently it's out there.
Apparently he's out there.
Or they are out there, I don't know. It's apparently they're out there for sure.
All right.
Oh, maybe this summer.
Well, if you ever see him, I want the scoop, all right? I want the exclusive scoop on the MTV Strength Coach podcast if you come across him, all right?
Oh, yeah. You'll definitely get the first person to hear the scoop, for sure.
Excellent. Right on. Well, right on, Katrina. Well, and just throw this out there, too. I'll definitely put a link on my blog post with this podcast for your website. So if anybody didn't happen to catch that that URL, you guys can just go to bikejames.com and just do a search for Katrina Strand, and this interview will pop up, and you can find her website there. And hopefully, too, I might be able to convince you to write a few articles and maybe do a little contributing to my blog. I'd definitely appreciate that, and I think my readers would like it as well. So,
I would love to. No, I'm really just kind of the person that I am. I generally do really enjoy helping people out, and so in the right business, so to speak, as far as coaching and strength and skill coaching goes. So, yeah, if I can get out there and help more people out in your neck of the woods on the website, whatever, that works for me.
Excellent. Well, right on, Katrina. I guess that's it. I really appreciate you taking time. I know you got a lot going on, and appreciate you taking the time to do this interview. And
no problem.
Right on. Well, any parting words for everybody out there?
Parting words. Have a great season. That's about it.
Excellent. Yeah, definitely. Get out there and ride, rock it.
Get out there and enjoy the dirt, exactly.
Cool. Well, I guess that's it. Katrina, appreciate your time. And for everybody else out there, you can, find this podcast at bikejames.com. And this does it for this edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. And I'll talk to you guys next time.